She wants to be successful and do great things for this program.
And then the ultimate goal is to get that win.
Went through the battles together, and they stuck together.
Those coaches over there are doing a fantastic job.
This is the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I am Zion Palmieri, and joined alongside me is
Jonathan Lambert.
And me and Jonathan are going to be here talking about everything Pendleton Heights, whether it's football, tennis, volleyball, or soccer. We'll dive into it all, and you know, we have our main segments here with Coach Richmond here, but first we're going to do our opening segment and just kind of recap this week in Pendleton Heights sports. So firstly, taking a look, let's talk about the boys varsity soccer team. So the soccer team only had one matchup this week, but they sit at a nice 5-1. That's a great record to sit at, of course. Their one matchup this week was their first loss. They came to Fishers. They didn't score. Fishers put up four. So their worst game of the season, but it's looking really bright for them anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dylan John has definitely been a prominent player for the past few games, but not scoring last game was definitely a something that didn't help. But he did get off four shots, and
yeah, there was a lot of shots in that game. Dylan Johns had four. Wyatt DeBertrand, the senior, had three. Jack Welfin, also his senior, had two shots. And then Jackson Chamberlain, the junior, as well, had two shots. So, you know, they're putting them up there. Of course, that goalie for Fishers is just hard to beat. And they're just going to play better teams as they get on. And they're really excited to keep going on in the season. And I was talking to Coach Richmond about this last night. And this goes for the soccer team, too. You know, the soccer team's played six games. They haven't really found what team they are yet. And once they do that, that'll help, you know, guide them to state or guide them to whatever goals they want to make as a team.
For sure. And this season, like I said, Dylan John, the junior, has got six goals for the team. Jack Weflin, the senior, has gotten five. And Grayson Hovermail, a senior, has gotten four, which has definitely been great for the team, you know, carrying them to the victories, allowing them to have the great
On the 5th of September, they beat Anderson 5-1. That was around a little over 2 weeks ago. But I just want to mention 5-1. In a lot of their games, they put up multiple goals over their opponent. Like you mentioned, Dylan Johns, he's got six goals on the season. When they take a lead, they take a commanding one and absolutely dominate the team.
For sure.
Moving on, we're going to talk about the girls' varsity soccer team. They are 3-4-1, so not having an ideal season, but you know, looking to have a better one as we go on. But they had three matchups this past week. Their first one against Westfield, where they lost 0-3. In that, senior Katie Coleman had two shots on goal. Looking to their next matchup, they beat Shelbyville 4-0, so a nice win. That one's got to help with morale. What were the stats of that one, Jonathan?
You said Gracie Coleman, right?
Correct.
All right. So Kai McClure, sophomore, had one goal, and Tori Apo, junior, had one goal as well, and Sydney Jones, a freshman, with a goal. You know, great opportunities for the freshmen, you know, putting the effort in, definitely see a future in that.
Definitely different here for Pendleton Sports when you have a freshman getting a lot of varsity time. But Sydney Jones, she's got one goal in that game. On the season, she's got two, and that's fifth best on the team for a freshman, though. That's very good. I mean, it's your first season as a high schooler, but you know, just on looking at their like season stats in first place for goals, of course, you don't really want to rank them first, second, third, but this is just the leader. Lydia Burke, the senior, she's got three goals, and then behind her, Ella Brinley, the junior, she's got two goals behind her. Toria Poe, two goals. Gracie Coleman, the sophomore, I guess in fourth with two goals. But there's a lot of youth on this team, and they're going to do great things as they go on. I expect next year to be a much better. They'll hit the ground running, if you would, and just have a better season at that. But this season's not over. Don't count them out yet.
And girls varsity volleyball team is currently 5-6. Had two matchups this week, and on September the 7th, they played a tournament and ended up 2-1. They beat Newcastle and North Central and fell to Perry Meridian Falcons.
And then their next matchup was against Delta. They lost that one 2-3, but they don't go down without a fight. The leader for Delta in that matchup had, I believe, 20 kills in that game, and that's pretty impressive. So that's a great team. Of course, that's a conference matchup. It's going to be a battle every time you play a conference team, and I'm sure they're looking to win that one. Of course, they'll get their get back as the season goes by. They're only 5-6. That's another great team. Leading the way for them is Casey Warfel, the senior, with 124 kills. Last time we visited this team just a week ago, she had about 98. So that's almost, I can't do quick math, but like over 20 kills over a week. You know, you'll take that any day.
Yeah, for sure. And Carmen Horn Jr. right behind her with 88 kills. That's just, you know, that's fallen right behind her. You know, she was just at 90 last week. She's trying to keep up those numbers. And Ava Zek Jr. with 58, still up there. But
I want to talk about Carmen Horn the Jr. a little bit. She has a 38.9 kill percentage, leads the team. That's pretty commanding considering Casey Warfel above her with 124 kills. So only at 88, Carmen Horn does have the best percentage. So that's a bright light for her. Again, that's youth on the team that will be better next year. Of course, she'll be a senior, but that's going to be a leader for years to come. And I'm sure Casey will kind of pass the torch as time goes by. Fast forwarding a bit, we're going to talk about tennis. The boys varsity tennis team is 7-2. Last time we visited them, they were 5-2. So just having a commanding season so far. They are on a big win streak, 5 in a row. That's got to feel nice.
Yeah, 5 win streak is kind of crazy. Definitely showing their dominance out there on the court. I don't really know much.
They recently played the Richmond Invitational, and they won it. They also won it last year, so back-to-back. You know, they run their own Instagram, and they always, you know, they're always posting pictures with another trophy or another win, and I know they just had senior night. They have big expectations for the season, and I really think they're going to fulfill them. In that Richmond Invitational, they were 14-1 in individual matches. That is insane. That is so good. That speaks to the seniorities. That's not really a word, but the seniors that they have there and how well that they've done this year. And, you know, they're teaching the younger classes for years to come.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's what we have for you for today's opener segment of the ASN Coaches Show. But stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to talk to head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond, recap the game, preview the next game, and, you know, all things Arabian football. But stay tuned for that. You're listening to 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from community sports and wellness, fitness, tennis, pickleball, and athletics, located at 395 South Heritage Way in Pendleton. Phone 765-744-1606. Online at communitysw.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here with
Jonathan Lambert.
And today we're sitting down with the head coach of the varsity Arabian football team, Coach Richmond. How is your day going so far?
Hey, the sun's up and we're at school, so getting after it, ready for a new opponent this week. So looking forward to it.
So to start, we're going to recap tonight, last night's game just a little bit. So it was a very tough loss, final score 28-14. So, you know, really tough game. They absolutely ran the ball super well, and that's just very demotivating for your team. So what did that locker room look like last night, and how are you going to just change the tide of it as we progress to New Pal this next week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we inflicted that loss on ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's between our ears. You know, I'm a broken record. You know, our middle school swept them. You know, I mean, they're doing a good job of running their systems at all levels. Our middle school swept them. We went out and should have beat them. And that's easy to sit here and say today, like a loser would say, right? You know, but we're not losers, and we've got to find the confidence to do what we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to do it. We have the right guys on this team. They're being coached the right way. We've got to find it within ourselves to do what we're supposed to do. You know, I mean, it comes down to very simple things, and they're all correctable. You know, and our opponents are good at what they do. I mean, you know, I think we're good at what we do when we do it correctly. I think our guys showed a lot of heart and toughness and resilience last night. But that's to be expected, you know. Effort and those types of values are to be expected, and they're not taken for granted, but they're to be expected. And you know, if we want to get better and we want to stop feeling like we feel, then we need to change our behaviors and do what we're supposed to do sometimes. So
yeah. And last night we saw an impressive goal line stand from Greenfield Central. What can you learn from that drive specifically?
Well, we can learn to execute. You know, I mean, yeah, it shouldn't happen. I mean, you know, it's discouraging to say the least. I mean, we come out, we did exactly what we needed to do, and then we didn't finish. So for the last 2 weeks, that's been a focus, you know, of finishing. And it's everybody. It's every, you know, our sideline's dead, you know. We're not communicating. That's the whole game, you know. I mean, it's there's no communication. It's like we lost ourselves a little bit, and you know, the life lesson with all that, you know, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, my, you know, this is not to go the wrong direction, but it just, you know, things happen in life that there's no textbook for, you know. Everybody goes through certain things in life, and how you respond reveals your character. And, you know, at the same time, you can look in this game, and how we responded reveals who we are sometimes. It's not who we have to be, though. You know, you got a decision to make. That's a great thing about this situation, is we have a decision to make. We have a decision always. So we got to coach these guys to make the right decisions in the right situations. And hopefully they do it the rest of their lives that way, you know?
So you mentioned the sideline just kind of being low on energy. Yeah. How do you fix that problem? How do you yourself as a coach respond to that? Is it, you know, starting early, or is it just something in practice? Hey, keep the same energy, never count us out. Where do you coach that?
Well, I mean, we coach it all the time, but, you know, the guys have to, they got to bring it, you know. And I thought we had some spirited practices this week. They were hard. But at the same time, it's, you know, we're going to play to the level of our training. So obviously we need to train better, you know. We gotta continue to improve at things that really take no talent, you know. And we will. We're going to coach them. And, you know, I was awful proud. There's a lot of improvements last night. You know, I thought our inside linebackers did a really good job. You know, Gabe Martin came over on defense and gave us some plays there. I thought he did a really good job on that. Jake Eldridge played his tail off. You know, I thought we showed a lot of patience on our backside, you know, because they've heard us before on big plays in the running game where we over-pursue, things like that. I thought we were disciplined. You know, I mean, we just didn't do it enough. We didn't put enough together. And offensively, it was our worst game. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. We did not play good. You know, I mean, Keaton had 139 yards, but how many times did he make yards after being hit in the backfield? You know, Colton was a little off. but he has been our guy and he's still our guy. You know, he's playing through some stuff and showed a lot of guts. You know, Nate DeRolf showed a lot of guts, but we got to be more consistent. Jackson Grile made some plays, you know. I mean, there's Jacob Rowley came over and made some plays, you know. Thought Talon Foster came in, did some good stuff. You know, we just got to put it all together, you know. Sam Barrett, freshman tight end. You know, we just got to be more consistent. Thought Kemper Owens did a lot of good things at center. I mean, that's a sophomore center playing on a big stage. We got to start faster, and we just got to continue to improve all the way around. And it's not just one guy; it's all of them. So,
yeah, you mentioned Nate DeRolf in the post game interview.
Yeah,
How he played, like he practiced. Would you attribute to his success last night directly to that?
Well, I think you always. I think it's always a reflection, you know. Sometimes it goes the other way, and that's when I say things are kind of between the ears. You know, if you have a great week of practice and then you go out and you don't play to your best, I mean, that's a situation where you got to have some. We got to find the confidence or something that goes. There's something that goes off there, right? But we have choices to make no matter where we start and finish. We have choices to make within there. And but he had a good week. You know, he's had a couple big games already this season. But it's the things that don't show up in the stat book that were much better this week, you know. And he's got to continue to push his teammates. He's got to continue to push his quarterback. He's got to continue to do a good job on defense. I mean, he's all over the field, right? I mean, there's Cooper Sims, same way. He did a lot of good things this week. You know, he's starting at safety, starting at receiver. You know, there's a lot on some of these guys' plates. And they've just got to continue to work and focus on what's right in front of them, you know. And that's the life lesson. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you don't always have the answers when things happen. So you have to react and respond accordingly. And it's within the framework of who you are and what you're supposed to do. And that's the integrity that we've got to live with, that you got to do what you're supposed to do. And sometimes the road's really hard. It doesn't get easier. This is a perfect week for that. You know, I mean, New Pal's the number one team in the state. I'm sure we'll talk about them in a little bit. You know, we've played them really tough. They're coming here. We're going to have a big crowd. I mean, it's a good opportunity to use what we just went through towards another game. So
continuing talking about Nate DeRolf, you said most of his praise came from out of the stat books and him as a leader.
Yeah.
How do you replicate that so he can pass that on to maybe a junior who will be a senior or just the rest of the team to, you know, motivate each other?
Well, we lead by example first, you know. I mean, we do what we see. And so we got a lot of guys like that. You know, Garrett Peterson last night, he's another one. You know, Nico White, another one. I mean, these guys show up every day with their lunch pail and they go to work, you know. And you don't see very often a 5'7", 170-pound nose guard taking on, you know, almost 600 pounds of offensive line and having to be held because he was going to make a play. And you never saw him complaining. You never saw him throwing his hands up. You never. That's toughness to me. That's the toughness that I want this team to embody. And he brings it every day like that, though. You know, so the young guys do see that. I think the old guys and the guys that are playing need to understand that everyone's watching. Everybody's watching. And so what we do on a daily basis is reflective, and people are going to do what they see. So we just need more of it. You know, we need more of those moments. You know, Nate, same thing, you know. So, I mean, I'm really proud of him. I mean, like, you know, I'll get another example. Colton shows up every day for work, busts his butt, does a really good job. Brant Gray last night, unsung hero. He's our holder on PAT field goal. We had a couple low snaps. You never knew. And DeBertrand's 2 for 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you never knew. You know, Brant Gray got it up on that block and was calm and cool as a cucumber. Now, that's who he is. But he also, he sees that from his teammate every single day. Nothing shakes those guys and rattles them. So really proud of him for that. Those are the things within the game. That's why I say we got the right guys. They can't underappreciate their value. They cannot underappreciate what they mean to each other. And oftentimes we take that for granted as people. So that's a lesson learned as well.
One more question here. So coming into this game, the Arabian offense has put 40 up in every game, but they couldn't do so last night.
Yeah.
Watching the game and broadcasting it, the offense really did well, but you mentioned they kind of hurt themselves. You know, one drive had the interception. One drive was had a few penalties. What was it specifically that just didn't go right for the offense?
Well, we weren't in sync.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, perfect example. I just showed our defense as an example. They changed their defense. So their game plan was unique for us. If we execute our rules at all 11 positions, we don't get stopped. They, Greenfield, did a really good job of executing theirs. Oftentimes we were one player away. Keaton Jones gets, midway through the game. Keaton Jones, we do a great job. Our center gets off, gets to the linebacker, which is very difficult. Our guard picks up the nose guard. We are flying off the ball. Keaton makes the right read, cuts back. Their backside outside linebacker is where he's supposed to be, and not only chases down the line, and this is, 5 to 8 yards down the field, but then he tackles with the correct shoulder on the correct leg, not chest or upper body, and tackles Keaton Jones. That's the only player that could have made the play.
Mm-hmm.
So we get an 8 yard gain and not a 60 yard gain. That was an average role player for them. Take nothing away from that young man. I don't mean that disrespectfully. That wasn't number zero Hinton, who is their best player.
Uh-huh.
And one of the best players in the conference, I think. That was the other side who just did what he was supposed to do and then executed it where he was supposed to against what I think is one of the most dynamic offensive players in the league. I mean, his stats say it. And that was a really good defense last night. And I know I'm taking some time talking about that, but if we want to be really good on all three phases, that's the sort of stuff that maybe the other, returning players or maybe role players, if they do that better, we're better. It's not a maybe. We are. You know what I mean? And we had guys doing that last night. That's why they didn't have huge runs, But at the same time, we've got to do it in all phases. We've got to do it in all phases. So, and we will. It's not for lack of effort. It's for lack of attention to detail, if that makes sense. Our guys played hard last night, They play hard. They played hard. But, we've got to be more intentional with our effort.
Well, thank you, Coach. That will wrap up the first segment, but stay tuned. We're going to talk to you, Coach Richmond, and preview the next game against New Powell, but stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri here with
Jonathan Lambert.
And we're sitting down with head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond. So we already talked to you about last night's game.
Yeah.
Let's move away from that, I'm sure. We want to focus on that in the film room, so that kind of leads me into the first question. Jonathan?
Yeah, with another game in the books, how much does more film and more game time practice experience benefit your team?
Well, middle of the season, teams make adjustments. The first few weeks, it's about conditioning. It's about It's about understanding your systems. Now they start to adapt the systems because we have tendencies, you know. And I thought Greenfield did a good job of that last night. I mean, you are who you are. So, like, our offense is what it is. So we're not going to change. New Pal's not going to change. We're going to get better at it. Now, there might be some, you know, B menu plays or wrinkles, you know, that people start to mix in, you know. But at the same time, it's about you know, defenses, and they might have some things for us this week. But it's the film works. You got to know what they do. I mean, you have to know what they do. But we have to know what we do. And we have to know where our strengths are. And I think we do. I think we know who we are. I think we need to get better at it, you know. And so to your question, you know, I mean, practice makes perfect, man. I mean, it's we've got to get better at everything. And, you know, and that's myself included. You know, every team's different, requires different within the same parameters of what you always do. Like there's, you know. I had a nice comment from a loyal Greenfield fan last night. Pendleton's going to be Pendleton. I'm not quite sure what he meant by that, but I hope he has a great day, and I hope we see him again. But I'll tell you, if we don't like how we feel right now, then we need to adjust our attitudes and our behaviors, or we're going to continue to get the same. And, you know, my plan isn't to have the same. And, you know, when you think of New Pal, you know, they are one of the best programs in the state in the last decade. And, you know, it's funny. I had a really good friend that coached at Purdue at one time, and he was a former high school coach. And I went to ask him, I was like, what's it like playing Notre Dame? You know, growing up a Notre Dame fan. And he said, oh, who doesn't want to play Notre Dame? He said, who doesn't want to play the best team in the state all the time? And that's what I would say. We are fortunate to have New Pal in our conference. I could say the same about Yorktown and volleyball, you know. This atmosphere, the level of coaching, the level of play. If you're a competitor, why don't you want to play the best? You know, and they have made our conference better in the 9 years that I've been here. I mean, it's knockdown, drag out every week. I mean, there's not a gimme on the schedule. And so the best respect we can show them is giving them our best effort, you know. And that's how I feel. I mean, teams give us their best. So to me, that's a sign of respect. And so I'm excited, and I hope our guys are too.
So New Pal, you know, they're historically dominant, but, I mean, you're excited. You say, you know, I want to give them our best. How do you portray that onto the team so they also can say, you know what, they might be this historic powerhouse, but we don't care. We're going to play our football, and we're going to beat them.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's the goal is to win the game, mm-hmm. right? But if that's all we're focused on, then we're going to miss. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's them or Greenfield this past week. I mean, there's things we didn't handle very well. And we don't take those for granted, but there's, you know, and I don't know. I'm not in everybody's head. I wish I knew what everyone thought. I'd be a lot better coach, you know. But we got to show up every day and go to work, and we've got to have a purpose, and we've got to have a belief. And I believe in our guys. I believe in them. I believe in not just the talented kids that have shown already. I believe in all 103 kids on our team. There's something special in each of them, and you know, we are different than other programs, and I'm not going to be shy about that. I'm really proud, and I also am humble enough to know we need to improve, you know, and that's evident in last night's game. It's taught or tolerated, you know. That's a standard that we go by as coaches here. So but I need help with that, you know. I can't parent all 103 kids. I can't be with them all day long. I'm with them 20 hours a week. I need help. I need support, and we have great support here. So then I add in, okay, so what is it, right? I don't know. And each guy, they got to find it within themselves to do what is right. And consistency is the key. Not getting too high, not getting too low, and going out and doing the best you can do. I mean, that's what you have to do week in and week out. But it comes back to, why wouldn't you want to be in this arena, and why wouldn't you want to be physically? We're strong enough. We're fast enough. Like we are, we, you know, they're really good, but they're really good at the simple, which makes him really good at the not simple. And that might seem silly, but that's what we've got to get better at, is the simple, at what's right in front of us. So,
yeah, and has there been any key players on New Pal's roster that you've really had to keep an eye on and, you know, want to target for the next game?
I don't know yet. I mean, I have followed just a little bit of their scores. I have no idea stats or anything like that, so it'd be premature to say that. But, you know, they do things very, very well there. Coach Ralph's a tremendous coach. You know, he puts his shoes on just like I do, probably, though. You know, his are just size 16 or whatever, you know, minor. He's really good, and I have a ton of respect for him, and, you know, I'm sure he's listening. He's no dummy. He's probably got all sorts of people. He might have had scouts at the game last night, you know. I mean, they want to beat Greenfield, too. That's a Hancock County rivalry for them. So it's one of those things, though. We got a ton of respect for him. They do a lot of things the right way down there. And, you know, we've got to get better at some of those things. So looking forward to a great week of preparation. And, you know, it starts between our ears, so.
Kind of a non-New Pal related question, but you mentioned he's been coaching for a while, and many of the coaches here in the Hoosier Heritage Conference have.
Yeah.
How does it, you know, as a team, when you're going against a younger coach or an older coach, do you change anything different? Is it not something you think about? How do you change your game plan, really?
No, it's all about what they do. I mean, each week is obviously a different opponent, and you got to look at their strengths. You got to look at their where they're susceptible, where we can attack them. And what we need to defend. Obviously, they've got good players. We've got good players. So you got to know, I mean, it doesn't change. We don't change anything just because of them. And that's the thing I think they would tell you. That's why they're so consistent. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're in the state championship game or they're playing us. It's the same preparation. And I've been blessed in my life, you know, to do that. I coached for multiple Hall of Famers that is the consistency between those great coaches, to your question. You know, Coach Moriarty at Carmel was a great mentor of mine, and he taught me the process. And you don't get too high, you don't get too low. This week is all in preparation. We all make the tournament. And if we're fortunate enough, we'll see one of these teams again because they're in our sectional. And so, you know, it's one of those things that you go out and you compete like crazy every day, and you get what you earn on Friday, and you got to make it happen. And, you know, I mean, we went to four straight state title games when I was offensive coordinator there. I mean, and it wasn't because I was a great offensive coordinator. It was because he was a great head coach. Systems were in place. It's the same offense and defense that we're running now. It's the same systems. We've put our spin on it and our touch on it, and it works. And, we've got to do it better. You know, we got to be good football players. We've got to block and tackle better. That's what they, when I talk about the simple, that's what they do. New Pal will not beat themselves. They never beat themselves. You have to earn it. And it's impressive, and it's something we all can learn. And it's definitely what we need to learn this week, because we beat ourselves last week. Take nothing away from Greenfield. We beat ourselves.
Well, that will about wrap it up. Thank you for joining me for these two segments, Coach, and hopefully next week we'll have an Arabian win, and good luck in practice this week.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Jones getting married today, so...
Shout out.
Yep, Mr. Ryan Jones. I hope he has a great day. Go Arabians.
Well, thank you for joining me here, Coach. But when we come back, I got the chance to sit down with a Pendleton Heights cheerleader here, so stay tuned for that. But right now, you are listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Rollins House in Fall Creek Retirement Village, senior living from Cardin. Located at 300 JH Walker Drive in Pendleton, their phone number is 765-778-7501.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on today's ASN Coaches Show. I am Zion Palmieri, and today I'm joined here with
Maddie Pfister.
Now, Maddie, you are being interviewed right now for cheerleading. How long have you been in cheerleading?
I have been a cheerleader for, I'd like to say, about 11, 12 years now. I started when I was, I started tumbling when I was about 4, but I started really cheering when I was 5.
Four and five is really early. Yeah. Why did you start originally?
Okay, so I moved to Pendleton. I've lived here since when I was about 4, and I was in softball, but I quit because there was too much running. And I started taking tumbling classes, but I found out that I really liked it. So I just started cheer, and I've loved it ever since.
So you mentioned you've loved it. You just didn't ever want to stop? Is that why you've kept doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at this point, it's just more like routine. Like, I wake up, I go to school, and then I go to cheer practice after. It's just like part of what I do. Like, cheer is my life.
How much of it is your life? Put a number on it. What percent?
Like, probably 75. Yes.
Is it only like gaining more since you know, I believe you're a sophomore right now, as you're only getting older and more experienced, I guess?
I mean, yeah, especially our school, we're very talented in the cheer world. We practice more, I'd say, I mean, I don't really know, I'm not in college, but I'd like to say that we practice more on a college schedule.
Really?
Yeah, we're just, not to toot my own horn, but I think that we're very talented. We practice a lot compared to other schools, I'd say, especially just with the schools around us, the people that are good, like, you know, us, HSE Fishers, we're very talented, but I think we practice like 3 to 4 days a week, usually. 2 to 3 hours. And then on top of that, we also have our games.
How does that look like, your practice schedule? Is it in the mornings, afternoons? What does that look like?
We typically do afternoons straight after school. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. And occasionally we have Saturday practices.
How difficult is that as, you know, you're a student, you're also an athlete. How do you balance that? It can't be easy.
No, it really isn't. But I think that's part of it. Being a cheerleader, you have to be a leader. It's part of the name. But I think it shows like a good representation of us being student athletes. The student always comes first. So we always take into consideration, like, if we can't do something because of school, like, we're going to take our school first. And it's hard to be able to balance that. But I think that all of us do a very good job at it.
So for your whole team, you mentioned you're very good and you're very excited. What goals do you have for this season that weren't achieved last season, or you just want to better?
We want to win. We win like our local and our state competitions, but we want to win nationals. We've only done it, I think, once or twice in school history. But we want to win both divisions. We were so close. We, for the first time in school history, we ranked in finals for both of our routines, which has never happened before. And we want to get to the top though.
How are you going to do that? Is it just more practicing? Where do you go next?
Reps on top of reps. We just keep doing it over and over and over. But, I think we're also taking a twist to our routines this year. We're trying things new, and we're also in a new division, and I think that can give us a better opportunity because of our size.
So you're a sophomore. You've seen a class of seniors already graduate.
Yes.
How has that been? How have the whole team had to overcome that?
I think that our seniors are very much missed. We had very talented cheerleaders that we don't have anymore, and I think it did make a little bit of an impact because we had very, very good cheerleaders that are now cheering at top schools, and I think it was difficult in the beginning without them, but I think we've realized that like we don't need to just dwell on those people when we have so many talented ones right with us right now. And I think that the previous juniors that are now seniors, they do an amazing job at fulfilling their roles after them.
So do you have any particular favorite specific performances or specific moments in cheerleading as a whole?
My personal experiences or just watching?
Everything. Your life as a cheerleader, viewer, active participant, anything?
My favorite was, so I was an alternate last year, but I competed our game day competition at nationals. Personally, my favorite thing that I think I've ever had was watching us hit our semifinals for traditional at nationals. It was just such an amazing experience. And I don't know if people have seen like the Herald Bulletin or the pictures online of us hitting and us hugging and crying. It was such an amazing experience. And I think it just shows us as a team.
How much does that like show? You mentioned it shows your how well of a team you are.
Yeah,
I cannot talk today.
No, you're fine.
What does that show? Is it, you guys have a lot of team chemistry? It comes together in moments like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's beautiful. You can see in the photos, like all our work paid off. It was so worth it. Every tear, every bloodshed, you know, all that sort of thing. It all was worth it in the end because we really, you know, we're disappointed because you always want to win, but. Mm-hmm. Everything paid off and it worked out how it should have.
Do you ever get scared? Do you ever get nervous? You mentioned, you know, you perform at nationals. I'm sure state looks a little different now that you've done that. The bigger the stage, the harder it is, more nervous. What is that like?
Yeah. So nationals, our nationals are they're hosted at ESPN at Disney World. That's very, very large. There's four field houses that you can perform at all at once. And there's thousands of people watching in the crowd. But they have this thing where, so the lights are very, very bright. You really can't see anything, but it kind of blocks out all the people. So the only people you can see are your parents in the front. And personally, that helps me a lot because then I'm not stressed about seeing all these faces. But for state, I think ours are at Newcastle. I think that's the school with the big stadium, I think. That's where ours are. And it's very scary because you can see everyone and you can like feel your heart like beating. It's so scary, but I think it's all worth it in the end.
So do you guys set any statistical, I know you want to win state.
Yes.
Do you just set any statistical goals? I want X, Y, and Z. What, how does that look like as a team at the start of the season? Do you say, you know, as a team, we want this, or you just figure that out along the way?
Okay. So we do actually, we want this. We want to have this in order to do this. We have certain skills like Boo-foos, which is a backhand spring flip. You like flip over, you like spin around in the air. I don't know how to explain that.
Sounds crazy.
Yes, it's pretty fun to watch though. I think we're very good at them when they do hit. We want to have those. We want to have, you know, just full squad everything. Like if one person can do it, the rest can't, just because it needs to all match. We need to have good chemistry. We need to just be respectful to each other because I think that's what matters most. And I think that we do a pretty good job at that. And I think that when we're all good to each other, that's where we're at our peak, because we were all such an amazing team last year, and I think that that's what got us where we were. Yeah, when we just set those goals, like even at tryouts, like we know what we want to do for the year ahead, because our tryouts are very early, but I think that's all the work pays off. But things like that, I think that's what really gets you further.
So year by year, how does your guys' performances or specific acts, I guess, I really don't know what to call it, how does that change year by year?
Okay, so usually there's our program, it's like UCA, where varsity is also a brand, but there's UCA, that's what is in charge, like United Cheer Association, sorry.
Yep.
that is what is in charge of cheerleading as a whole.
Okay.
And that is what is in charge of guidelines and rules, what's legal, what's not legal for us to do in our routine,
mm-hmm.
What gets you the max amount of points, what gets you the lowest, that is what determines what our routine looks like. So sometimes there will be skills that just are super crazy and that'll make you win, or you get the best amount of points ranked if you do them well. So that's generally what determines our routine, but also the people and what skills that they have and what we can do as a whole.
Now that sounds like a lot of like, you got to really study up on the rules. How
yes.
much of that is like, I don't want to say book work, but you're literally studying on the rules and like how this is going to make our team do better.
Yeah, so usually we don't really sit down and like look at the book. Coaches go to like meetings and they will be able to study and understand the new rules or rules that have been already set in stone. But generally we have like our normal idea of rules and what we can and can't do and what will look the best. So we are able to understand already like what we should do and how we should do it and why. There's just generally some things that switch up over the years. Like we have new things that have been added this year as well.
So what is your favorite part of cheer season and where are we at now?
I really love football games.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I would hate them I'm not a night person. I go to bed super early, so it's hard for me to be able to stay up. But this year I have been cheering my first varsity games and it's very exciting for me because our student section has been awesome this year. And I think that that's very, like, it's a huge part of cheerleading is to be able to get along with the band in the student section. Because then all of your school is just one. And I think that that's an awesome thing because we've been able to do that this year. And games have just been so cool to be at.
How difficult is it if the crowd's like not really into it or not reacting?
I think it's hard, especially personally for me, middle school. I think that was difficult because people didn't really care. Not like in like a, they just neglected you in a way. It's just like they were just doing their own thing and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more fun when everyone's just able to interact with each other. Because you're just able to have fun. And like when we do cheers that are like callback cheers, we're able to have fun with the crowd because they want to do something that we call. And it's just fun when they actually want us to be there.
Well, that looks like all I have for you once again. So who am I here with one last time?
Maddie Pfister.
Again, thank you for joining me, Maddie.
But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Liam Davis here at the sports staff got the chance to sit down with Zach White and Henry Corbin of the boys varsity cross country team. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic, located at One Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at CowanChiropracticCenter.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this segment of today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Liam Davis, and I'm joined by
Zach White. I'm a junior.
And Henry Corbin. I'm a sophomore.
And how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
I'm doing good.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get right into the questions here. Why did you guys start running for cross country?
Well, I started because my dad used to run marathons all the time, and he wanted me to train with them and stuff. And then once I got to middle school and started doing cross-country team, I really used it as conditioning for basketball, but now I'm just a runner.
Yeah, so nobody in my family really is much of a runner, but I played soccer a lot, and then once I got kind of done with that, I started turning to other sports, and running was just kind of the first thing I thought of, and I've stuck with it.
All right, and what do you guys both like about running?
I like that it's mostly your own individual work that you put in, and that's what you're going to get out. So if you really care about the sport, there's not 100% guarantee, but there's a pretty good chance that you're going to get better just by putting in your own work.
Yeah, kind of build off that. I like that it's like kind of, it is a team sport, but at the end of the day, it's really you versus you and you versus your mind. And, if you have a good mindset going into it, you're going to get better, hopefully.
All right. And what both of you guys not like about running?
Sometimes, like, during, like, the middle of a long run when it's hard and I don't really want to keep going, that's probably the worst part about it, just having to keep pushing just to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, running's hard, so, you know, if you're just having a bad day, which happens to everybody, I mean, it can feel, you know, you can feel like giving up, but part of running is you just have to push through it, and eventually you'll find better days, you'll find improvement. But, you know, improvement isn't linear, so that's not every day. And those bad days really, you know, make you not like the sport for a little bit.
All right, and coming off, like, your explanation, Henry, how, like, in the middle of a long run, you, like, don't want to do it anymore. What keeps you motivated to keep you on that long run?
Just knowing that I have teammates that are counting on me and coaches that are putting their time into working with us and making us better.
I agree with that. You know, it's mostly other people that motivate me to keep running. So obviously my team needs me to do well, and my coaches have spent so much time out here, you know, coaching for us. They don't have to do everything they do. You know, they're great. So If I don't perform, if I don't give it my all, then why are they there? You know, I feel like that would be wrong of me. So that's a pretty good motivator, at least for me.
Yeah, and so what was both of your guys' favorite running experience?
I mean, it's always fun to improve to PR, so which is personal record, but yeah, so probably one of the races that I've PR'd is always fun. And then especially when, like, on Saturday, the most recent race that we've had up at Indiana Wesleyan, everybody pretty much on the boys' team at least PR'd. So that's fun. We're all happy. We're all proud of ourselves. We're all proud of each other. So that's just a great feeling.
Yeah. Pretty much any of the meets that I've PR'd at, running at sectionals in track was pretty cool last year. Doing like local 5Ks and doing good with like, sometimes you'll do it with like a runner from a different school or one of your teammates that, you run with all the time. So that's always fun to do.
And what was your guys' least favorite running experience?
Well, I mean, there's several times where running is just hard. Like sometimes it sucks and that's just part of the sport. But yeah, probably some workouts during track. Track especially has some tough workouts that really make you question how much you want to keep doing this, but it's all worth it once you get to the end of that season and you've seen everything you've done and your team has done.
Yeah, just to build off what Zach said, and some of my best workouts have also been some of the workouts where I like wanted to stop halfway through. But you got to keep pushing. Workouts are hard, but you're going to get through it.
All right. And, so talking about training here, would you guys rather train in the winter for a race or train through the summer for a fall race, but you can only train outside?
I would actually rather train in the winter.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, the summer can just get brutal with the heat and the humidity. It can be pretty bad sometimes, but winter you can always bundle up and then shut off some layers. So just weather-wise, if I'm always outside, it's definitely winter.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then also in the winter, it's just cool to like run when there's like snow on the ground and it's cold, and 'cause you're not really like... you're not really sweating too much just because it's so cold. But you're still putting in work, so.
All right. And would you guys rather run on a beach path trail, like just on a beach dead straight, or would you rather run on a mountain trail?
I'll probably take the mountain just because, I don't know, it's more scenic. If I'm on a beach, a lot of times there'll be sand. Sand is really, like, it's tough to run on sand.
Yeah.
So I would probably say a mountain most of the time, but that could change depending on how I'm feeling.
Yeah. I agree with that. Mountains are, I feel like a mountain would be better footing. But it can also be really hilly, which is, it's going to suck after a while.
Yeah. So what was your guys' longest run ever?
So for me, it was actually this last Monday or maybe the Monday before that. I don't know.
It was Labor Day.
Yeah, it was. It was Labor Day. So that was 12 miles. That was in Michigan.
I did mine at the end of track season. I ran like 11.8 miles.
That's a long way. So if there was such a thing as a 2x600, which is 2 miles, what do you think the time would be?
Well, if it was like an alternate between us two, like I handled.
Well, like, yeah, so like you ran the 1600 and then Henry ran the 1600. Well, it'd only be 1 mile for each.
Okay, so
yeah.
It would be under 10 then.
Yeah.
Probably not a whole lot faster than that, but we could get it under 10. So that's just under 5 per person. If not, I think
we could.
And if you were to run a marathon, what would your best time be? Oh. And do you think you can make it the whole way without taking any breaks?
I can make it the whole way.
I think I can make it the whole way, but it wouldn't be that fast. I mean, I don't really know marathon times very well, but it wouldn't be great. But I think I could do it. It would just, you know.
And going to like the cross country team, who would be the most funny person on your team?
I gotta go Benson Davis.
Yeah, Benson Davis.
Probably. He's just, he's got a big personality, so it feels weird when he's not there. You know, there's like a hole in the team.
And This is a person that like rarely ever talks on the cross country team.
For boys, it might be Max.
What do you think? I think it might be Max.
Maybe Max. We don't have anybody who really is like doesn't want to talk, but probably Max Ricketts. He's a freshman.
And who is the quickest runner on the team?
That's Benson.
Yeah,
that's Benson too. Yeah, both in cross country and track for the most part.
Yeah.
And that appears that is all the time that we have. Thank you, Zach White and Henry Corbin, for joining me in this interview. And stay tuned for one final segment of the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Jonathan Lambert.
Now, Jonathan, we had some great segments with head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond, and then, of course, we had our two interviews. But focusing a little more on what Coach said, we're going to talk about the Arabians and their season so far and preview the next few games. So the Arabians sit at 2-2 after their loss last night to Greenfield Central, and what a game it was at that. A real testament to the Arabian strength. Coach Richmond talked about, you know, the Arabians, most of them stuck in the way through to all the way till the end. You know, that was a grueling game, and Greenfield just really runs the ball well. Looking forward, though, to New Pal, who they will play next week. Tell me a little about their team, Jonathan.
Yeah, they have their QB, junior Jacob Davis. He has 23 completions for 428 yards. 5 touchdowns and 1 interception this season. The running back, junior, Josh Raines. And then also Austin McMahon, wide receiver with 6 receptions and 180 yards.
So they've got a great team. Something I did notice is, you know, you're going through these stats as, you know, broadcasters trying to prepare for the game. They got 5 fumbles on offense. I'd say that's a little higher than normal. Pendleton Heights, they've been pretty ball secure fumble-wise. I know Colton Frank does have 2 interceptions. One of those was last night. But fumble-wise, they've been pretty secure. So, you know, you look to the bright lights of this game next week. Hey, maybe they can force a fumble. The Arabians really need to focus on themselves this week. We saw Coach Richmond talk about that. And, you know, focusing on yourself, you do that. And, hey, maybe you force a fumble. You've now hurt the other team. You can go out and win this thing.
Yeah, and definitely getting a fumble, that's one whole possession that's yours, no matter where it is. It's great to have or take another possession from the other team. Can definitely win the game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they call those takeaways. You're quite literally taking away a possession. It helps your team so much, and just one, we saw that last night, just one small thing can change the whole tide of a game, and especially against a great team like New Pal. And that would mean a lot for the Arabians, a big win here at home, the first home game in a minute. Show out, that one's going to be special. But let's focus on the other sports here at Pendleton Heights. So starting off, girls soccer. They're going to have 3 matches this week. The first one, it's going to be today at 11:30 a.m. That one's going to be at North Central. And then following that, on the 19th, they're going to take on Conference Newcastle. This one will be at home, 7 p.m. And then finally, we'll move to Delta on the 21st, a week from today. That will be 10 a.m. at Delta. So 2 conference games this week. They've got their work cut out for them, but right now they sit at 3-4-1. Exciting latter half of the season to go. Then boys soccer, looking at next, they sit at 5-1 right now, so off to a great start. Their last game was to Fishers, which that one was their first loss of the season, but some exciting things for them. Looking at their schedule, they will play Westfield today, this one at home at 11:30. That's going to be a great matchup, of course, 5-1, like I already mentioned. And then we'll go to Conference Yorktown after that, this one also at home on the 18th. That one will start at 7 p.m., and then Fast forward a little bit more, a week from today on the 21st, they will take on Heritage Christian here at home. That one at 7 p.m.
Yeah, and you mentioned the record, obviously, and they're very dominant this season. Hopefully they can learn the mistakes from Fishers and build upon that to, you know, beat these other great teams like Yorktown. And, yeah.
Yeah, there's, again, they also have the work cut out for them, but, I mean, you're sitting at 5-1. You can't be mad about that. You've got this other, of course, you know, look back at that Fishers game, like you said, and just be better as a team. They can definitely do it, and they have high hopes for this year. So that's a sport, you know, attend a few games. So, you know, if they do win, you can say, hey, I went to the 2024 boys soccer champion team. You know what I mean? Looking at tennis, though, transitioning, I guess. Tonight they have, or I guess today they have a match at Lawrence Central. That'll be their only thing this week. But, you know, after that, they're going to just be preparing for their, like, tournament play, whether that's semi-state, state, wherever they go, they've got exciting things for them. Of course, I mentioned before, they're on a 5-win streak, 5 in a row, their last one in Richmond. Again, another team that's got their work cut out for them, but they're going to do so well, and you know that already. Just being led by so many seniors, there's exciting things in Arabian sports in general, and this next week's going to be great. But, me and Jonathan, that's going to be it for today's Coach's Show. Thanks for tuning in, whether you turned in for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the whole thing. We thank you. Thank you to Coach Richmond for coming here, sitting down with us, and then thank you for everyone for being interviewed. And also, once finally, the sponsors who made this possible. But for Jonathan Lambert, I'm Zion Palmieri, and you're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coach's Show here on 91.7 WEEM.